with the first pick in the NBA draft.
I know I'm ready for this moment. It's just about going out there and making the most of it. Every year I watch the draft and seeing the number one guy go by, I wanted to be in that person's shoes.
Oh my goodness! What's that, Freddie? A human highlight reel!
We are coming to you live from Brooklyn. It's draft day, friends. Are you ready to see some dreams come true? I caught up with G League sensation and top five projected pick Jalen Green. That conversation's coming up. And hindsight is 2020, but we're going to look back at the 2018 draft. How should it have gone? We're counting down the boldest draft day fits ever as well, so don't go anywhere. An action-packed jump starts right now.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Credit Karma.
That's right, we are in the Big Apple for the draft. It's just in 5 hours here at Barclays Center, home of the Nets, and that's where we are as well. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm alongside our NBA draft insider, Mike Schmitz.
Mike.
And Mr. 2003 first round draft pick, Kendrick Perkins. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm usually out here bragging about your championship ring, but I like that today I get to brag that you were part of one of the best draft classes we have ever seen.
Ooh, preach about it, right? Look, Rachel, look, we're just getting started on the jump. The gospel don't have to come out this early.
There you go. We got so much jump for you today, too. Richard Jefferson is going to join us later in the show. We're going to have a red carpet special for you coming up later in the afternoon on the network. But now, with the latest on all the movement heading into the draft, joining us right now, our ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, welcome back. And just in the last hour and a half, you tweeted that the Pistons have landed on Cade Cunningham for their pick, barring an unexpected trade. So this has been a little bit of a process all week. What ultimately sealed their decision?
Rachel, Troy Weaver, Detroit's general manager, and you know, their front office came to New York yesterday and visited with Cade Cunningham and sat down and talked to him again and left even more confident that this was the player that they would select. They met again this morning and talked through it as a staff. And you know, I'm told they informed Cade Cunningham of their decision early this afternoon that he would be their number one pick, obviously barring a trade, which you know is always possible until a team puts that name in and selects the player. But this was a real process, and Detroit really looked hard at Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, and there was a lot of back and forth on this, and I don't think it was about anything that they didn't think Cade Cunningham was. It spoke to, I think, just how impressive this group is, how much potential both Mobley and Green have to be stars in this league.
Well, I will tell you that on the way over here, Kendrick Perkins and I had a meeting of the Troy Weaver fan club, just how smart he is at making personnel decisions. So I know that the Pistons organization has good faith in their leader there. You mentioned also that earlier today that there was a lot of conversations about teams trying to move up, making trade offers. What is the latest intel making the rounds with the draft closing in?
I just don't think there's a scenario, I think right now a realistic scenario where anybody moves out of the top three. Just because no matter how many picks somebody might give you, you know, no matter what the player might be, it is rare to have this kind of star potential at the top of the draft. And, you know, five nickels don't equal a quarter. And there's some quarters at the top of this draft. And so I think right now, listen, I think Oklahoma City, because of all the assets they have, you know, they can continue to knock on the door. But if you're Houston or Cleveland, the idea of moving up one spot and having to give up a lot to do it or move up two spots, it doesn't make sense when the player you're going to get, you know, has all-star potential. May turn out to be, there's a legitimate case to be made that any of those three could become, you know, the best player in this class. So I think one, two, and three, I think they stay. We'll see with Toronto at four. A little different there. They're in a different place than the other three organizations in terms of, you know, they're a team that expects to be back in the playoffs next year, maybe even host the first-round playoff series, you know, with the right moves this offseason. And even then, I still think it's hard to imagine Toronto parting with that pick.
Now, there were multiple teams that have multiple picks in this draft tonight. Which teams do you expect to be the busiest that we're going to be saying their names enough? Are these teams that are going to keep their picks or move those picks around?
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Rachel. You know, kind of teams closer to the middle of the first round, New York, Oklahoma City, for example, who have a couple picks within the same vicinity. You know, there's a lot of talk with both of them, moving up, moving down with one of the picks or both. You know, trying to package picks to move up. That's not easy in this draft. Teams are really certainly holding on to them, especially around the top 10. And you saw Memphis move in and get number 10 from New Orleans. New Orleans paid a steep price to get off the money that they did in the trade with Bledsoe and Steven Adams. So I think you'll certainly see movement on the board. Teams will wait to see if their player hits a spot, 13 with Indiana. You know, if Indiana maybe doesn't get the player they would want at 13, that's a team that could move back or maybe get like a young, you know, maybe another young player and a pick. Somebody they could plug right into their lineup and then move back a few spots. That's certainly a possibility.
All right. Well, now what all of NBA Twitter wants to know, Woj, I have to ask you, are you working on any new active verbs for when you are breaking picks tonight? Because it has become one of the most entertaining parts of the draft, my friend.
Rachel, I'm gonna try to keep it very simple. That's my entire goal for tonight. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as I can. I've taxed my brain enough.
I think that's a fabulous idea. Woj, thank you so much. We will talk to you and see you throughout the night.
Okay, see you over there.
Thanks. All right, guys. We want to talk a little bit about Cade Cunningham, of course. He established himself as the consensus number one pick. And Mike, you said that he would be the top prospect if he had entered last year's draft as well. When is the last time you saw a perimeter prospect that you rated as highly as Cade?
Luka Doncic is the only one that I can remember in the last decade. And
really?
I would say, yeah, I think that Cade Cunningham is the second best perimeter prospect in the last decade. Okay. And listen, I was incredibly high on Luka Doncic just because of the magic that he had with the basketball. Maybe the most accomplished prospect we've ever seen at that age. I mean, being a EuroLeague MVP at 18 years old, 19, right. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So to say that Cade is going to be that, I think would be unfair to him. But I would say that Cade is arguably a more complete player. Like, you want to play him off the ball, he can play off the ball. You want to play him on the ball, he can play on the ball. He can play out of the post. He can defend. Like, he has zero holes in his game. And so I think, you know, the combination of his Luka Doncic-like ceiling and his incredibly high floor speaks to the type of prospect that the Detroit Pistons are getting.
Well, I'm going to go with LeBron James. I'm going to go two decades
back. You're going back.
Yeah, I'm going way back. Since we're comparing this to 2003 draft, I'm going with LeBron James. And just to Mike's point, he's the most complete player. When you look at their size, right, LeBron James, 6'9", 225 pounds when he came out of high school. Cade Cunningham, 6'8", 220 pounds. Versatility, right? Mm-hmm. You look at him on the offensive end, he has really zero flaws. Now, can he get better? Absolutely. But he could take you on a low block. He could face you up. He has great enough handles to create for his own. And also, by the way, he's great at making others around him better. And on the defensive end, he could guard 1-5. He has that size. He has that motor. He has that mentality. And when you look at LeBron James' numbers his rookie year, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, I believe that Cade Cunningham could do that. Now, he's not athletic as LeBron James is, but he's athletic enough. And so when I look at this guy, Cade Cunningham, this kid, the future is bright, and he reminds me a lot of LeBron James, but he still has a lot of work to do.
Well, and that's true of all of them, right? You look at LeBron's track through the NBA. You look at, you're just talking about Luka Doncic. He's still trying to advance through the playoffs, right?
True.
So even if a guy is a Luka Doncic, even if he turns out to be something even close to LeBron, which is, you know, one of the top three players of all time,
ever.
It's going to
top
take
two.
A while to get there. Are we going to have a Kareem discussion?
We're not going to do that today, Rachel.
Because I will be happy to stand in for Kareem.
There you go.
Just being in that conversation. I don't put them in an order. I just like to say top three. And y'all can argue about what order they're in, but let's not forget that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar belongs in that group. Let's move on, though, to this group. Mike, one of the things that I have found so interesting that you have said over and over about this class is that there are actually three number one caliber picks. Can't remember the last time, maybe Perk's draft class, when we were talking about that idea. And of course, you mean Cade, you mean Jalen Green, you mean Evan Mobley. So once we get past that group, who is, I would say, I don't know, kind of the number two, even though we've got, we're now to number four?
I think it's Jalen Suggs. And, and honestly, I feel like we could be giving him a little more credit throughout this pre-draft process just for what he did at Gonzaga. I mean, you don't see kids 19 years old, young men, and come in and be arguably the best player on one of the best teams in college basketball history.
Right.
Like, if it wasn't for that loss to Baylor, I think we would be talking about them as maybe the best team ever, right? And he made big shot after big shot. It wasn't just the banked half-court shot against UCLA. No. It was the steal and the block and the one-handed dime in transition against BYU in their conference tournament. Like, he had big moment after big moment. He's incredibly tough, and he reminds me a lot of Drew Holiday, to be honest. I think he's going to have that type of impact in the NBA.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going with a guy that actually locked up Jalen Suggs, and his name is Davion Mitchell, to go on and win a championship. We're talking about College Defensive Player of the Year, a guy that doesn't get enough credit on what he do on the offensive end. He has improved time every year. He always proved the doubters wrong. He reminds me, he mimics the game of Donovan Mitchell. Super athletic, great playing off the ball, great slasher, can finish at the basket, and he will lock you up. And when I say lock you up, Rachel, one of these Perkisms coming.
All right,
he's
going to
be hugging guys like a cheap suit.
There it is. There it is.
Which no one on this set is wearing today. I do want to point out that you can see the red carpet behind us. That's where the guys will be coming in their draft day fits. Going to be so good. Before we let Mike Schmitz go and we get Richard Jefferson in here, is there anything else you want to hit Mike up on?
No, I just don't want Mike to leave.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, leave Richard wherever he's at, please.
He's an upgrade, man.
Yeah, no.
Get him over here.
No. Leave him now.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
we will
you
get you
thank
back,
you,
and we will see you on ESPN's draft coverage throughout the night. Welcome back to Barclays Center. 60 players will hear their names called as official members of the NBA at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. This is one of the coolest things we get to do. And oh, look who's joined us. One time, I believe Perk, he would like us to know he's a lottery pick.
Well, no, that people
Richard Jefferson.
People are going to hear that term a lot today, and so I just want to make sure they're clear on what that means.
Okay, cool.
The majesty that is in front of us clearly is what it
We got to appreciate
means.
It, Rachel.
We appreciate the
we
glory.
We have to do something. That's certainly true. It's time to run it back because Richard is dressed so lovely.
Thank you.
We're going to run it back to the boldest draft day fits ever.
Oh, wow.
Check Maurice Taylor in 1997.
Ooh.
I think it's a lovely color.
Honestly, Aquaman is great.
I mean, it would have been better if he had been going to the Hornets, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, you know, he went to the Clippers, and that was pretty much the end of him back then. Just kidding, Mote. Just kidding.
The next one.
That's clean, though.
Tyler Hero.
That's why Tyler gets invited to the barbecue.
Yep.
That's why he gets invited.
We should have known back then.
We should have known back then, man. Tyler was going to get invited to every barbecue.
Number three, Bol Bol in the same year.
I really didn't understand this one. But
maybe he was supposed to like the Spider-Man or something.
I mean,
that's a lot of fabric. Look how, gosh.
I mean, do your thing.
He's got to have a little flair.
I love it.
There you go.
You love it.
Tim Thomas in 97.
They traded that pick, right? He didn't go to the Nets. Where did he end up?
It don't matter. We're talking about the
I'm just saying, dog.
This is when the suit game, like your jacket had to reach to your
all your ankles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This number one.
And come on.
The
96.
Hat.
Sumaki Walker. The hat really made the look.
Oh, he's mad he had to take it off. Look at that.
The hat was the best part of the whole outfit. I mean,
I kind of feel we could do a whole hour on this topic, these were five good ones, but I could pick out like five.
The best is when you see all of them together.
Uh-huh.
It's outstanding.
Uh-huh.
It's outstanding.
And you can really track fashion over the years just by looking at NBA draft photos to see how things have changed. All right, let's get to tonight's draft. We're going to see some hot looks, I'm sure. We will also see Jalen Green. Yesterday, I sat down with the top G League Ignite prospect. Ooh. We had so much fun. Take a listen to our conversation.
Jalen Green crossing over. Oh, Jalen Green spikes it above the rim.
So experts are calling this the best draft class since 2003. For people who don't know at home, 2003 was LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. What do you think?
Three-pointer to end the third quarter goes down by Jalen Green.
I think so, too. I think this is a really good draft class. There's a lot of talent. I think the whole class is loaded all the way through, so it's going to be crazy.
You played in the G League bubble. How do you think that prepared you to get to the NBA?
I feel like it was a step ahead of college or anything else. I mean, overseas is the same as being pro, but the game is just different over there. Just learn how to be a pro on and off the court early.
What NBA player are you most excited to go up against?
I think Ja Morant is probably the most exciting player that I'm trying to play. Just because that's my bro. He's like supported me since high school, and he's an exciting player. I think I'm an exciting player. Both high flyers, so it's gonna get real.
You did start a trend in the G League bubble, the very short shorts.
Yeah.
Are you bringing that to the NBA? America needs to know.
Yes, I am bringing that to the NBA. I need the smallest pair. They had like a 33, and I was like, this is still not small enough. Like, I need like a 30 or 30, 29 or something like that.
Did you like tailor it at all? Safety pin it up? What did you do?
I wore two tights. So I wore one padded and one regular, and then I just tucked my shorts underneath. So we figured it out.
Who is the best player in this year's draft?
I am.
You think that you should go number one?
I think I should.
Did you tell the Pistons that when you visited them?
I did, and I showed it in the workout too.
What was your workout with Houston like?
It was really good. I got to see what their offense was like, shot the ball well. I think it went really well.
Mock drafts do have you pegged there to go to Houston. How do you think you could fit in with that franchise and give it a lift after it had a really difficult season?
They already got like young talent. They just got to put it all together on the defensive side. They just got to really lock in. I think I come in with a defensive mentality, and I'm always going to give it 110% on both sides of the floor. So, I mean, I think I could turn it up there, possibly.
Maybe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the last three guys to win Rookie of the Year, none of them went one overall. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't end up going number one overall, what is your feel about what you could do in your rookie year and whether you could go out and win that award?
I think it's possible. I think that's a goal of mine coming into the league. First goal is to go to number one, but the second goal is to get Rookie of the Year.
I'm going to leave it up to you. Would you like to discuss whether he has Rookie of the Year potential or just the short shorts? Because I think, Richard, we need to hear from you on the short shorts.
Well, look, I'm going to say this. He's going to win best hair in the draft, right? Like, that's for sure.
He's so telegenic, right? Kirk and I were talking about that before the show.
Good for that kid. He's going to make a lot of money in a lot of different areas. Yep. But ultimately, I think the short shorts is fun because I remember for us, when we got drafted, we were like, we want the biggest shorts possible. So all of a sudden now you get, you know, 20 years forward and kids are like, no. A 33?
I want
a 29. Is there anything at 28? Can we just wear spandex out there? I think that's what they're trying to go towards.
I actually love this kid. I think Houston is going to, I mean, obviously if they pick him, this is a great piece for the Houston Rockets fan base. When you look at them, they've been looking for that guy that's going to come in and have that flash, have that athleticism. He's electrifying on the court. He reminds me a lot of Jaylen Brown with a little bit more wiggle, but off the court, he reminds me of LaMelo Ball, the way he carries himself. He's very marketable, and you could tell he just had a smile. He had the charisma, you know, so shout out to Jalen Green, man.
Yeah, and look, first of all, he's going to be more NBA ready, as he pointed out, because he just spent a year in the G League in that pro environment. I don't know if Jalen Brown with a little more wiggle goes on an advertising campaign.
It does.
But the Houston Rockets should look into that for sure. Brooklyn, home to the NBA draft, 60 dreams realized tonight. I am Rachel Nichols. I've got the bald and beautiful duo of Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins with me. It's a lovely day, gentlemen. Dreams
really
are going to come true. Mostly Perk and Richards because they're going to get separated from each other later. But, you know, you'll get there.
When? Can we get like a clock, like a countdown clock for that?
The love in this room, is palpable.
Amazing.
Let's talk a little bit about the NBA landscape and where the stars are. Wizards GM Tommy Shepard told reporters yesterday that Bradley Beal has not requested a trade. He says Washington will move forward tonight with the 15th pick in the draft. Now, We don't know if that will change down the road. Beal can extend this offseason. As Perk has pointed out a lot on this show, there is a lot of money coming his way if he wants it. He could become a free agent in 2022. But what's important for tonight is if he is not available to other teams, like, I don't know, the Warriors, who have been looking for someone of his caliber to package some assets and make a trade for. Who should those teams that feel like they are under pressure to get not just a young, talented guy, but a guy who can help their team now? Who is out there that someone might be able to use their picks tonight to package and make a trade for? Perk, who do you like?
I like Ben Simmons. And look, I know he had a horrible postseason this last season in the postseason, but let's not forget, right? Ben Simmons is a guy that is capable of going out there and getting you 20 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists in the right situation. It's just that Philly is not the right situation for him. And we're talking about a guy that finished second in Defensive Player of the Year voting. So he plays defense. He's one of the best lockdown defenders. He could guard 1-5. I just think he lost his confidence because he had to stand around. He had to watch Joel Embiid. So if I'm looking right now, I'm thinking Ben Simmons, you know, is the most valuable piece right now to get moved from Philly and go to another home and find him another destination, a new beginning.
No, I agree with Perk. But the funny thing is when the draft gets started,
keep going.
When the draft gets started, people that you didn't know available often become available. So that's a key thing here that you have to pay attention to. It's like everyone has been talking about Bradley Beal, which it feels like for like 3-4 years. Because this team is not very good, and he's a very talented player. Ben Simmons, obviously his name has sparked up quite a bit here. But, you know, even Dame Lillard had some moments where Dame's name was up there. But it's like teams find it very difficult to get away from these types of players. Mm-hmm. But players also have a difficulty asking for trade because they know, as per like I said, they leave $70 million, $50 million on the table. So to me, I think you might see a player that, oh, wow, I didn't know he was available.
Right.
Or that name, because everybody's not leaking information. Sometimes people are just trying to see what's out there. But, you know, Ben Simmons is probably the best player that is known to be available, but the cost is just extremely high.
It is high, and Woj has reported that Daryl Morey is asking for a lot in return for Ben Simmons' trade. Now, I personally think that Ben Simmons may be more valuable to another team than he is to the Sixers, meaning, you know, the idea of like, hey, we don't want him, so why should you want him? Well, you should want him because he might be more valuable to you. Mm-hmm. Paired with Joel Embiid, we have seen there have been issues. I personally believe if they have enough shooting around them, it can work, but it has not worked to the extent they have wanted it to. They did not find themselves in the NBA Finals this year, which is where they thought they were going. If you have decided that that combo just isn't going to work for your team, or that Ben just isn't hearing the coaching staff in the same way, that doesn't mean for another team, that talent package could not be just extraordinary. Yeah. So I think that is why this ask is so high. I just don't know if they're going to get it tonight.
And you got to understand, too, there's a lot of teams out there that if you get them to the postseason, if you get them to the second round of the postseason, they had a win. They'd be thrilled. They'd have the win of the year. The team would make a ton of money. There'd be tons of jersey sales. But in Philly, that's not what they're looking for. Right. They're not looking for second round. They're looking for NBA Finals. And so, you know, you have to kind of, you know, temper, like, your expectations based off of, like, what you want to accomplish. So I think Ben Simmons has a ton of value for other teams,
yes,
but maybe not as much as what Philly wants it to be.
Well, and tonight's such an inflection point too, because an unpicked draft pick has more value than a picked one, right? So if you tell another franchise, hey, I'm going to hand you whatever number pick and you can pick anyone you want, that has more value than if you make the selection and then later this summer are trying to trade that same pick. That guy is only going to fit into certain markets, right? So I think it is interesting to see the action tonight. And you talk about teams that have pressure, that just making it to the first or second round isn't enough. I mentioned Golden State at the top of this segment. The Warriors have a lot of options tonight on how to move forward. They have the 7th pick. They have the 14th pick. They have James Wiseman. Remember, the number 2 overall pick from just last year. They've got a potential money-matching contract in Andrew Wiggins. They also have to deal with, though, a hefty luxury tax bill. In fact, Bobby Marks crunched the numbers. The Warriors already are starting at a $120 million luxury tax bill this season. Whew. The moment the Warriors make their two picks tonight, that goes up. Currently combined to be worth $9.1 million. That means that their luxury bill tax increases to $175 million just by making those picks. And the way that works, Richard, is that when you are adding more salary to the balance sheet, over a certain amount, you have to start paying luxury tax
on it. And they're also in the repeater, aren't they? They're in the repeater.
They're hard-capped, I believe,
so,
at the end of this.
That's a lot.
Right.
That's a lot. $175 million of like, hey, thank you for the season. We're going to send $175 million off.
It's just money that isn't going onto the court.
It's going onto the
league to be spread around other teams.
Right. I mean, when you look at the Warriors, right, they're in a pressure situation for the simple fact that Steph Curry, right? You have to get this right, in my opinion, because we talk about Damian Lillard being on the outside, but Steph Curry is also on the outside watching, and he's coming up. I think he could sign an extension for a lot of money, and, you know, probably that will take him all the way past his prime and more, and probably retire as a Warrior. So if I'm Steph Curry, I'm evaluating this draft. I'm evaluating what they're doing in free agency. So, I mean, it's a lot of pressure on what they do with these draft picks tonight.
Yeah, and the one thing about, you know, Steph Curry in this, and you, like you said, being past his prime, if you
hear me out,
this contract will probably take him past his prime. He's 33 years old. If he signs a five-year contract, he's not going to be in his prime at 38
years old. I'm not betting
against
him shooting a three-pointer at age 38. Well, you can.
The point that I was going to make was that if you put the right people around him, it will extend. It will extend his prime. Is that okay? Can I say that?
I mean, why are you so emotional today?
Like, this is not emotion. It's a draft. This is exciting.
This is big.
Very exciting.
Look, here are their potential assets. They actually have a great asset package to offer to another team for a guy who is more on Steph Curry's timeline. The question is, getting back to what we talked about at the beginning of this segment, is there that guy out there? Because Ben Simmons probably doesn't fit their team. Mm-mm. So if Bradley Beal isn't on the table right now, and Ben Simmons, who we know isn't a great fit for the Warriors, they may have to make these picks tonight, which again then kind of opens up luxury tax issues, opens up timeline issues around big stars.
Yeah, when I look at all that that they have, when I look at all that, I think that all those guys would look great in Portland.
I was thinking the same thing.
Who do you feel you're getting back?
Dame on the point with Steph running around, that would be nightmarish. Draymond running around with those three shooters. All I'm saying is that Portland, that package, I'm not saying that all of that would be available, but if you got Wiseman, if you got Poole, if you got Wiggins,
might take more than
if
that
you
to got get a, Dame was
no,
my
I'm
point.
Just saying, if you got all those picks that are also available, again, it's the same with the Ben Simmons situation. What you might want might never be available.
Right.
And by the way,
Dame Lillard has made a point. He has not asked for a trade in Portland. And I know the Blazers consider him, I mean, he's not just a star to them. He is an emotional part of that community.
I mean, we have to realize, and I don't know if the audience know this, but we all know this, right? Certain teams work behind the scenes, right? So some of these picks the 7 and the 14 pick that Golden State may choose today, the draft prospects, it may be a pick that, hey, Portland may say, I want these two guys. And later on down the line, they have these guys in their back pocket just in case that Dame Dollar decide to leave Portland when he come back from the Olympics and say it's time. And now you have everything and more. You have the draft picks you wanted, because that's how it happened with me on draft night, right? They just swapped picks. They already knew.
I just don't think they wanted you.
No.
I just don't think they wanted you.
Relax. You don't go in the first round out of high school if a team don't want you. Mm-hmm. It just don't happen.
It was off potential.
No, it wasn't off potential. It was just pure dominance.
Here's what I know, and you mentioned Dame Lillard on Team USA. I know that there are several guys in his ear trying to say, but wouldn't you look good in our uniform? Draymond Green. We'll see if that actually happens. All right. One player, if they do end up picking at 7, who might be available there is Florida State's Scotty Barnes. He spoke with our Malika Andrews about getting ready for this draft. Take a look.
I am here with Scotty Barnes. Scotty, you were on what was widely considered one of the best high school basketball teams in recent history, and Cade Cunningham was on that team. What's it like going through this process together?
I would say it's just an amazing journey. Going through the process with people that have been on that team, It's me, Kate, Moses, Deron. We're all just growing up seeing each other's dreams just come true.
Well, one of your college coaches likened you to another Scotty, Scotty Pippen. What do you think of that comparison?
So it's all right. It's a dude that plays with a tenacity when he's on the floor, plays with some grit, has a great defensive mindset as mine as well, but that can also do a lot of great things on the court.
When did you first start dreaming of this moment?
I would probably really say middle school is where it really started to get to me and where I know I can do something with it. Well, you play in little tournaments, but it's like you just want to go against those, the top teams, the top guys that you just hear about all the time. So it's really just getting better, trying to play against better competition all the time.
The draft a little more than 4 hours away at this point. Now, looking back, the 2018 draft could be one of the better draft classes we've seen in the past decade, particularly after we saw Trey, DeAndre Ayton's performances in this year's playoff, All-NBA talent Luka Doncic, of course. His track record so far in the league speaks for itself. So let's look at the first five picks. Ayton to Phoenix at number one, Marvin Bagley to the Kings at number two, Luka at three, Jaren Jackson at four, Trey Young at five. But of course, Luka officially drafted by the Hawks before being traded to Dallas for Trey and that pick. That pick became Cam Reddish. Also remember that draft had Colin Sexton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Mikhail and Miles Bridges, Michael Porter Jr. That's just in the top 15. So yeah. This is a talented, talented group here. So, Perk, if you could redraft 2018 today, and the little stipulation I'm going to make is you have to go with the same team making the same picks. So when the Phoenix Suns, for example, looked at Luka and wondered how would he fit with Devin Booker, that has to be in your consideration package as well. So with that, sir, you have the floor.
Okay, if I had the number one pick and I was the Phoenix Suns in 2018, I would take Luka Doncic, right, if I had to go back in time. With my number two pick, I would take Ayton. And here's why I would take Luka at the number one pick. Like, I don't want to hear about he can't play with Devin Booker. I feel like he can, right? That would be one of the best backcourts in the NBA, and they would make a lot of noise. At the number two pick, I would pick DeAndre Ayton, the Sacramento, because he's way better than Bagley. This is a guy that played extremely well in the postseason. Forget the finals. We watched this guy average 18 and 10. At number three, the Hawks. I'm staying with Trae Young, ice cold Trae, right? Point guard, a guy that's going to go out there and get you 29 points, 9 assists, make guys around you a better four-level score. And I'm looking at the Memphis Grizzlies with the number four pick. I'm going with Miles Bridges over Jaren Jackson Jr. And at the number five pick, if I'm Dallas, I'm going with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA.
Wow. Honestly, if I had to repick it, there's not too much. I think Luka Doncic obviously is the number one player in this draft. Mm-hmm. I think Ayton, you still haven't seen his potential. But I think after that, it goes Luka, Ayton, then Trae Young, obviously number three. But this is what's something that is always weird about the makeups of these teams.
Right.
Is that if you redraft them this way, then the picks that you got the following year,
yes,
the players that like Ja Morant that went to Memphis Grizzlies, right, maybe you don't get Ja Morant. So don't always focus on like, oh, well, if we would have picked this guy. Yeah. Well, if you would have picked this guy, I wouldn't have gone down.
Just like be part of what we're doing. We're redrafting. Like, you don't have to go.
He kind of said his version. Yeah. I don't know if he has a fancy graphic.
I'm not as cool as Perk.
But I do have a question though for you guys. So, as a viewer, as a fan, to me, I always feel like if you have supreme talent on your team, especially in this era of more positionless basketball, guys will figure it out. Mm. So on draft night, I was saying, hey, draft Luka Doncic number one. He and Devin Booker, I can't imagine they can't figure out a way to play together. Haven't we seen enough? This guy in the EuroLeague was the finals MVP, won a title. And yet there were a lot of people who played the game saying, I don't know about who needs the ball where. How do you think that pairing actually would have worked?
But do you know how many times we've seen this in history? There's a reason why Michael Jordan didn't go number one is because the Portland Trailblazers had Clyde Drexler. Right. There's a reason why they didn't draft...
Detroit Pistons took Darko because they already had Rip Hampton on the team, and they felt that Carmelo Anthony would be redundant.
Well, they had Tayshaun Prince at a small forward, and they ended up winning a championship, and I'll go one more. The reason why Kevin Durant didn't go number one is because they had Brandon Roy, and they thought they would take a big to pair with Brandon Roy. So it's like you see that, like, NBA history is littered where we're going to go for position versus best player available, and I think more times than not that fails you.
Not when you're talking about the lottery. Like when you talk,
I just gave like five lottery examples from the last 30 years.
That don't mean that they were right. That don't mean what you were saying was right. When you talk about the lottery, you talk about guys taking the best available guy at that time, right? The best available.
That's what
pick.
We're agreeing.
It's not all about. No, you talk about pairing. Right, you get late on in the draft, and then you start to pair and see what you need. But at that particular time, you find a way to make Kevin Durant and Brandon Roy work. Like, you got to draft Kevin Durant, especially after watching him see what he
did. Hence why I said what they did was wrong.
But here's the thing. I think that the Suns made a good choice for them in that DeAndre Ayton is not. The examples you're giving, that's not DeAndre Ayton.
No, right? Agreed.
So DeAndre Ayton is someone who, as we have seen, has worked out for the Phoenix Suns. He played just exceptional basketball through so many rounds of the playoffs. So, yes, would Luka Doncic maybe have been a better pick for them in hindsight being 2020? But I do not see DeAndre Ayton going down as some of the examples you're giving as like, oh, man, they really, if we could do it again, they really screwed the pooch there. I just don't think that's true. DeAndre Ayton has proved himself to be such a high quality player in this.
Well, he went to Arizona. Like, you knew he was going to pan out in a way probably.
There we go. All right, we're going to talk. Amazing. Look forward to that. And Richard, are you ready to keep working? Because we got another show starting at 5 Eastern. It is the Jump Red Carpet Special. ESPN2 will hear from all the top prospects in their best looks as they get ready to hear their name selected tonight. This is always really fun. The excitement of the guys when they get in this building is so cool. This draft will, of course, also be the first since the formation of the G League program, utilized by soon-to-be lottery picks Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga this past season. This is where going the G League route, as we've called it, out of high school, spending a year in the G League on this developmental team, learning how to be a pro. Do you think that gives them a leg up in the Rookie of the Year race, which will start pretty much as soon as this draft ends tonight?
Yeah, 100%. The quality of talent that they're playing against, the schedule, the training, the practice schedule, all of that stuff. I would say now Ben Simmons is great, but Ben Simmons had that whole year of being with Philly before he ended up playing and then winning the Rookie of the Year. So I think it gives them an advantage having that just kind of understanding of NBA offenses and defenses.
Well, Rachel, all I'm going to say is look at this year's Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball. He went overseas and played professional basketball, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to your rookie year, right? You hit that rookie wall sometimes with the energy, so there you go. We'll have so much more to come on this show. I will tell you who wins the paper snowball fight. See you.